Say this year loud enough so Yaakov can hear.
Yeah. Filchus Bechoyres, Perek Hei Vav and Zayin. So we'll conclude Bechoyr and begin Maise. Just to summarize what we're learning till now, this set of mitzvahs that Rambam is discussing, what happens with the firstborn animal of a kosher animal. Mm-hmm. If it's unblemished, it should be brought as a carbon. And if it's not, it should be given to a kohen, and the kohen can do whatever he wants with it. Belongs to the kohen. And maaser, which is the tenth animal, the first and the last. The tenth of each animal also was given over. But we'll learn about those details later on. But now we're focusing on maaser, on bechoy. So in this page, the Rambam will discuss if there's a suffix, there's a doubt of what the bechoy is. And about doing business with the bechoy. Because it's a carbon, you cannot treat it like a mundane item. You have to give it a certain level of dignity, a certain level of respect. Can't just use it for whatever you want.
Does it have a inherent kedusha in it?
Has kedusha. Okay. Yeah, if it's unblemished, it has kedusha.
Okay.
It's a sheep that hasn't yet given birth. And it gives birth to two males. Even if both heads of the animal leave the mother simultaneously, as explained in last Perek, the moment the animal becomes subject to be brought as a carbon is when it leaves its mother, the shear of its forehead, when its forehead emerges from the mother. So if two of them left at the same time, it's impossible that one didn't. So double negative means a positive. Of course, one came out first. We don't know which one. Being that we don't know which one left first, the kohen has the right to one of them. Doesn't know which one, so he takes the weaker one, the lesser value one. The second could have been the one that's born first, so it's a svek b'choy. The kohen doesn't have any right to it. If one of them died before the kohen had the right to take any, had a chance to take any, the kohen has no right to take the remaining one. Because the one that's remaining alive, we don't know what it is. If the kohen wants to take it, he has to prove that that one was born first. If he gives birth to a male and a female at the same time, and don't know which one was born first, they have zachas safek, because it only applies to male, not to female. Could be the female was born first. The kohen cannot have any right to take anything. If you want to prove that it belongs to you, you have to bring proof. Base. Two mothers that hadn't yet given birth, and both gave birth to males. Shneim l'kohen. Both abachoyin are the firstborns which belong to a kohen. You have the two females that never gave birth. Zachor unakeva. One gave birth to a male, one to a female. Hazachor l'kohen. Obviously, shnei zacharim and a keva. If they give birth to, if there are from these two mothers, you have a group of two males and one female offspring. You know, and so it's production. So hakohen netel sakachosh. The kohen would have to take the weaker of the two males.
So there's two female lambs who give birth independently.
Independently.
And it's both the first birth of both.
For both. Otherwise, bechor doesn't apply. Bechor is only if it's the firstborn.
But what's the difference if it's one lamb giving birth or two lambs giving birth? If it's the firstborn, it's the firstborn.
Because there's a suffix involved. The Rambam's continuing from the previous halakha. If you have an animal that gives birth to two animals, you don't know which one is the bechor, two males.
Yeah.
So the weaker one belongs to the kohen.
Yes.
You connect, so the Rambam's expanding that if you have two sets, two groups of kids that were born. Uh-huh. The same union applies. You don't know which of the males are born first, the kohen takes the weaker one. It could be.
The weaker one from each set?
There is two males and a female that were born from two mothers.
Yeah.
We don't know the order of what they were born.
You don't know which one came from which mother either?
Right.
Oh, okay, you just
but
see.
We know okay. That one of the males has to be a bechoy. Because regardless, even if the other one gave birth to a female, the other one gave birth to two males. We don't know which of those two males is a bechoy. The kohen takes the weaker one.
Okay.
Now, is svek bechoy. In meisach lehen, if one of the males died, in the kohen klum, the kohen can't take any of them. Shezeh hazachar hachai, safek bechoy. V'amaitzim michaveri olav harayu. The kohen has to prove that it belongs to him for him to take it. What happens if the two mothers, which hadn't yet given birth, give birth to two females, v'zachar, two females and a male, or shnei zachar v'shteina keves, two males and two females? So now you could say, hold on a second, even though there are males that are born, it could be that the females were born to each mother first. So none of the males are subject to bechoy because they were born second. Oh, maybe the females were born first. Now, let's add in an additional suffix. So far, we're discussing two mothers which hadn't yet given birth. What happens if achas bikra v'achas shaloi bikra? One of them had, one of them hadn't yet given birth. And two males are born. Of course, one has to go to the kohen because one is a bechoy and one he can keep. But But each of them is a svek b'choyr, because we don't know which one comes from which mother. But one of them does belong to the kohen. Therefore, v'kohen nitlos akachush. The kohen takes the weaker one. Meisach mehen. If one of them dies, ain kam l'kohen klor, which is a hachai sofiko, because the one that's alive, we don't know. It could have been born from the mother that had given birth, and therefore it's not subject to b'choyr. It could not, and therefore it is. The kohen can't take it. V'kohen in yol d'zach nekeba. If you have two parents, two mothers, one that hadn't given birth, and then you see that there is a male and female baby that are born. We don't know which one comes from which. It could be that the male came from the one that had, or hadn't yet given birth. We don't know. So what do? Gimel kol b'cheshu safik. In all these situations where we don't know what the status of this animal is, din ashira chip maimon. The din is it should graze until it receives a blemish. Ve'yachil le'baylov, and the owner gets to keep it to eat it. Bim tafaseis akim. What happens if the kohen he went, even though he shouldn't have, and he took it? We don't take it back from him, because it could be it is a bechor, and therefore it does belong to him. And he eats it once he gets a mum. The kohen cannot bring it as a carbon. It can only be brought as a carbon if it's a definite bechor. You cannot shecht a non-kashrim animal in the base of Mikdash. It has to be known that this is a carbon. It could be that it's not the firstborn, so he cannot shecht it as a carbon. Doubt. One who has in his herd animals that mothers that had and haven't yet given birth. And they gave birth. There's nobody there to see what happened. He sees that mothers had already given birth in the past are nursing females. And once it hadn't yet given birth are nursing males. We can assume that the mother that is nursing the child that is nursing from it is the mother that gave birth to it. So if we see that the ones that hadn't yet given birth are nursing males, we can say, oh, that must be its mother. So therefore, it's a bechayr, it belongs to the kohen. We don't think that the babies went to different mothers.
How do you mean hasn't yet given birth?
The mother hadn't yet given birth in the past. So therefore, the baby
that is born in the past. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Two people who give over males to the shepherd, one is a bechayr, therefore technically could belong. It does belong to a kohen, and one is a regular animal. The shepherd goes back to both of the owners with his remaining live sheep. He puts it between them and he walks away. But it was svek bechayr. Could be it isn't. Neither of them knows which one is his, so they go 50-50. What happens if he gives over to deposit his bechayr by a homeowner? And the balabais takes the bechayr and puts it among his regular sheep. One of them dies, we don't know which one it was that died. The kohen cannot come to that balabais and say, give it to me. No, it belongs to both the mafkid and the balabais. Even if the roya, the shepherd, is a kohen, he places his bechayr, the animal that was born to him, in by a homeowner in pasha shav bal habayis, and he mixes it together with the other animals of the bal habayis on misach mehen. Hamoitzi v'chaveiroi alav haraya. The emitzi mechatzar bal habayis el beraya. You cannot take it back from the homeowner unless you have proof. Shalim das bal habachoy hinichim a pasha shav bal habayis, because he places it there knowing with the full right of the homeowner. So you can only take it out once you know that this is the one that you placed it. Zayin loy nechshu yisrael habachiras. They weren't. We don't have a chashash that Yisrael not like a kohen. We don't have a chashash that a Yisrael, a non-kohen, will put a mum. Concern. We're not concerned that a Yisrael will place a mum on a bechoy. A kohen is a different. A kohen, he thinks, I'm going to get the animal anyways. It belongs to me regardless. So let me put a mum on it. A blemish.
Okay.
That way I can eat it whatever I want. I don't have to bring it as a carbon. But the Yisrael, a non-kohen, we are not concerned that he's going to intentionally put a blemish on an animal. The Yisrael, a non-kohen, is believed to say that this animal is a svek b'chayr. We don't know if its mother had or hadn't yet given birth before it. And it can be eaten in its state of a mum. Fine. What happens if you have a b'chayr of a behemoth hektish, a b'chayr of an animal that the mother you designated as a kohen, and then it gives birth to an offspring. So kachim that got a mum kavua, that got a permanent mum that disqualifies it from being brought as a carbon, and then you designated it to be brought as a carbon. Viniftu, and then you redeemed it. Chayavim b'abchayra. It's mechuyev. You're mechuyev. If the animal gives birth, it has to be brought as a bechuy. Dim kol demum oivel akdeishon. If it gets a mum that will pass, and then you will designate the mother as a korban. Oishiv dishon tmimin, or doesn't have any mum. You will makdish it as a korban. Machakich noyel himum kavu v'niftu, and then it attains a mum, and then you redeem it. Ptulim in abachayda. Then if the offspring is potter, should I lo yatzu luchun on the chodavar, because the offspring doesn't go. It isn't removed from them entirely. Because the offspring is still chayiv, you cannot use the shearings to work it. Fine. The fact that you cannot work them or have enough from the shearings shows that there's still hektish on them, and therefore the din of bechoy isn't subject to animals that are hektish. It's only subject to animals that are chulim. Fine. Tesla. Kech behema behema mois ma'aser sheni kedushalayim. One who takes his mois ma'aser sheni, in addition to giving a tithe to the Levi, the owner of the field has to take his produce and eat it in Yerushalayim. Ma'aser sheni. If it's too much fruit to bring, he converts the value to coins, goes up to Yerushalayim. With the coins, he then buys food and eats it in Yerushalayim. So he takes that money, and he buys animals in Yerushalayim. So chayav is b'abchayra. If he purchased a mother that hadn't yet given birth, and it gives birth, the offspring you have to bring is a b'chayr. You have to give it to the kohen. If someone takes produce that are shmita, and then he sells them, and then he uses the money to buy an animal, a mother, and then the mother gives birth, such an offspring is part of the fish. You can't do business with the produce of shmita. Pasuk says it's to be eaten, not to do business with. And if you're going to say that the offspring of the animal that you purchased with money that you made from a shmita sale is mechuyev in a bechoyd, then there is a benefit by doing, there is some form of hanor. Because now you're removing it from the stringencies that are subject to items that you purchased with shmita money. They have to be eaten with a certain kedusha. By you removing it from that, you're now having hanor from them. But you cannot. We explained in that set of halachos also lasas chayiv b'dvarim asurim b'chilu. You cannot be koveya esek. You cannot set up shop to sell hamburgers. It doesn't work. If you're a shechet and you realize from one of the animals that you shechted that it's an avela, you can sell that to a goy. But lechatchila to make your whole business around treifus, you cannot do that. You cannot open shop, make your whole business based around trumas. Even though there is a way that you can sell them, not in public, nevertheless you can do. It's forbidden to do schoyde with bechiras. Yud. If one purchased a bechoyde, he bought it a bechoyde that is a baal mum. Right? Because otherwise it's a kohen. Otherwise it belongs as a korban. Oh. So he brought it from the kohen. Once it has a mom, the kohen can do whatever he wants. He can sell it to other people. So he brought it from a kohen. He was making it from a kohen. Yeah? It's not. It has a mom. It has a blemish. It can't be brought as a korban. And he brought it for the feast. He's making a wedding. So he wants to do a whole roast. And then he realizes he doesn't need it. So he can sell it off. It's fine. It doesn't have any kedusha. Mutul machrik. Yidalf. Ein shamin. Shuma is a practice where Reuven owns an animal. Shimon is an investor. He tells Reuven, I will take care of your animal. I will feed it. I will house it. I'll make sure it has whatever it needs. So a year ago, the animal is worth $100. After Shimon took care of it, it's worth $250, right? Shimon put $50 of investment into it. So it went from 100 capital investment plus 150 and appreciation of 100. So what Shimon does is when he sells, he'll take back his initial investment, his 50, and the other 100, they go 50-50 between himself and the original owner. That's called Shuma. So Ein Shom, you cannot do that with Bechiris Tzmimin Liyisrael. You cannot do that. Avu Shom Alehim Bechiris Bali Mumin. If they have a mum, so there's no Kedusha to them, then you can. Otherwise, what's going to happen is that people are going to withhold their animals and not give them to the Kohen. Nowadays, however, where there's no base of mikdash, it can be brought as a carbon. You can do it for kehanim. Because regardless, you wait until they get a blemish to be eaten. Fine, but if it has a mum already, you can do this business deal. Okay, perik shishi, the Rambam then pivots now to maaser. Lacha aleph, mitzvah lahafrish echad me'asara. It's a mitzvah to separate one out of every 10. We call behemis tahoreis from each kosher animal. Shivaldo la'adam b'chol shana v'shon. From every year's batch of animals that are born, separate one out of 10, 10%. Ve'mitzvah zoni heges ele b'bokar v'tzei b'lvad. Not by chayis, not by undomesticated animals, only by domesticated animals. Shnemer v'chol ma'aser bakar v'tzoy. Base. Ma'aser behemah noig b'chul, and I believe in Darshan, it's noig, it's practiced only by animals that are not designated as a carbon. V'noig b'oratz u b'chul tzil yaret, it's noig even here in the States, ben b'fnei b'ayis v'ish, v'shloi b'fnei b'ayis, even nowadays. Aber chachamim osru la'aser behemah b'zman hazel. Chachamim said, don't verbally designate an animal as ma'aser. V'tiknon, they establish in ma'aser ne'el b'fnei b'ayis, it should only be done during the times of Beis HaMikdash. What happens if you designate it? Maaser is eaten by the owners. If you designate it as maaser and you eat it nowadays as a carbon, it's forbidden to eat carbonis outside the Beis HaMikdash. You cannot shecht. Even if you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's a chiv karis. So the Chachamim said, nowadays don't separate it because you might fall into the iser. Fine, so it's maaser, but wait till it gets some more. Once it gets some more, then you can eat it. You spritz the dam over the foundation of the Mizbeach and you mark the Muri Mashachabasan, eaten by the owners in Yerushalayim. Whether you separated it when it had a mum or only got a mum after you separated it, it can be eaten anywhere. Hey. Ma'aser behemah also limkareisa kashul tamim. You cannot sell it unblemished. Lafish nemabay lo yigoil. You cannot sell it. Mishul lamdu ma'aser bein otoras shezesh nem lo yigoil. Af iser mechire bechlavoy. Shere nigov eni nimker klal. Virali shamecha ma'aser lo yasa klum lekana lekeach lafikach eni leke. What happens if someone does sell? It's not a transaction. The money goes back to the seller. The money goes back to the buyer, and the animal goes back to the seller. Nothing happened. Not only that, the guy who did sell is not chayv malchus. If you are even aveda, then you chayv malchus. But there's no transaction. The transaction never took place.
You lost me on this one.
You cannot sell, it's forbidden to sell an animal that should be brought as a carbon.
Yes.
Maisa. What happens if you do sell? You're even an aveda. So you chayv malka, you chayv punishment, you chayv lashes. No. You only chayv lashes for an aveda that which you cannot fix, or for an aveda that you performed. If you steal something, you have a mitzvah to return it. You're not chayv malka if you steal, because you have a mitzvah to return it. Right? What happens if the item gets lost? It gets burned. So there's no way to fix, so then you chayv. Oh.
So if you sell, there's
So because the whole sale is not valid to begin with, you want over the Aveda. The whole sale is not binding.
But what if people don't go back on the deal? What if the buyer... Okay,
beautiful.
Okay.
Oh.
So I'm like, that's what the sense to me.
So if you cannot fix it, that's where your question is a valid question. That's
okay.
True. Oh. Fine.
Right. So they're saying you do the transaction, you realize it, then you should undo it immediately, give the money back, and take the animal back.
Exactly.
Okay.
If I stay, commission's bourbon king. Fine. Problem. Divri safa midrabanon shaslim karoise balmum vafiru shachut gzeishim kirenu chayv. Even if you already shechted the animal, shouldn't sell it because you might end up selling it when it's alive, which you shouldn't do. Lefikach ein shoyklin money kenegin money b'maisel kederech shoyklin ba'bchim etnishul nir kamoicha. Shouldn't do anything that could trigger a thought that you could sell. You cannot weigh pieces of a miser on a scale. Because when you weigh pieces on a scale, it looks like you're doing it for business. You're weighing pieces to see how much each one is worth. You're going to think, for business, let me sell it. You might end up selling it when it's alive. So any act that could bring a thought to say, I'm going to end up selling this, the Chachamim said, you don't do it.
Even after you've already shechted it?
Exactly.
It's dead.
Oh, but it could bring to someone selling it when it's alive. Hi.
How can you undo the shechta?
Cannot do a shechta, but people will think I can do business with it, meaning I can sell it even if it's alive. That's the thing. B'choshes for these people.
Okay, I got you.
Ma'aser behemah yosayim shenishchat b'mumay. Ma'aser behemah of orphans that was shechta once and got a mum. Mutalamachri kedarkoi. If it belongs to yosayim, then you can sell it. Why? The chachamim made the enactment. They could say when it applies, when it doesn't. Why by yosayim it came? Pnei ha'shavas avid la'yosayim la'goz olav. Because if yosayim won't be able to sell it. Orphans. Okay. Orphans, there's nobody to take care of them. If no one's going to buy it, the mom is going to have nothing. They're not going to have anything. So we say for these individuals, they can sell it so they can have what to eat. This animal, the tenth animal that is shechted once has a mum. You can sell its fats, its sinews, its hide and its bones. Only its flesh, the chacham said you cannot sell. If whoever you say, the bone, the thigh bone is worth $5. But he wants to sell the meat. So what does he do? He says, I'm selling you the thigh bone for $50. even though it's only worth 5. What are you doing by selling it for 50? You're selling the meat as well, but you're not selling the meat, you're selling the bone at $50. Oh, so that way you can do it. If the bones are very expensive, everyone is believed when it comes for a maisa to have a mum. It was the mum, the blemish happened to it unintentionally. For example, because they have nothing to gain by making that statement. A person can assess the mum of his own, the blemishes of his own maisa animals. Because if he wants, he can put a blemish on every single animal, as we'll see. In which case, if it initially had a mum, it's also not mechuyev in maisa. So you can intentionally play. A person is believed to say that it happened unintentionally. Because even if he doesn't intend, he can do it in a way, he has a potential of doing it intentionally, and the animal is still not mechuyev to be brought as maisa. When he purchases or receives as a gift babies that were born, offspring that was born that year, they have to be born in his premise, in the premises to be mechuyev for maisa. His partners that partner to buy animals. Each they put together a basket of 200 sheep. Because each one is like sold to the other partner. They're 50-50. As who receive the sheep from the father who passed away. But the heirs or the partners who in their possession are born sheep after they partner up, those offspring are mechuyev because they are born in their rishus. Nish animals that they partner up with are not mechuyev in maisa. Mm-hmm. What they give birth to are mechuyev in maisa.
After you acquire them.
Oh, after they are partnered together.
Okay.
If you are partners in money, in the funds of the business, and they purchase with the funds of the business the animals, what was born after they purchase is mechuyev. Because they were born in the rishus, in the premises. If after the offspring was born, they split the partnership. And then they repartnered. So now everything is a new partnership. Because when they divide, it's as if they bought out each other partner. Right? When they rejoined, so you're rejoining animals, and no further offspring was born since they joined. So if they do that, all the born offspring are essentially pati from Maisa, because they broke the partnership and rejoined. So nothing is newly born in their joint possession. Even if it was a 50-50 as absolvement, brothers are partners that divided the money of the estate but didn't divide the assets, didn't divide the animals. These animals, if they divided the animals, the base, one who buys 10 fetuses when they're still in the mother, then when they are born, they are mechuyev in maisa because he bought them. Right? When they were still in his rishus, they were born in his rishus, so to say. What happens if? Interesting subject. Someone who steals from a gay.
From a
convert.
Yeah.
And the gay passes away. Who does he return the money to? Doesn't have any relatives. So you give it to the kohen who's working that week in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So a kohen who received 10 of such animals, p'tunim in a maisa, these animals are patir. Sh'matnis kohunim atanis hen, u'kvavenu sh'anitim b'matanu patim in a maisa, because it's a gift. Anything subject to the dinim of a gift is not subject to the dinim of a maisa. So a kohen who receives his animals, it's one of his matanis, one of the 24 gifts a kohen receives. So as a gift, gifts are not subject to the din of maisa. Yidal hakel nechnas nadir hisaseh beitmimin beimalimumin v'chol yisurim izbeach. Every single animal goes into the pen to begin the process of going out 1 through 10. Even animals which can be brought as a carbon. Chutz ben akilayim, an animal that's an offspring of a crossbreed, v'atrefa, an animal that is going to die within the next 12 months, v'yetzadeif and mechus esman. Shekol eidu p'turim in a maisa. V'chein ayasim shemesa ima yinishchotayim leidase inim esaseh. An offspring whose mother was shechted or died when it gave birth, also is not subject to maisi. All these the above points are halacha l'meishu b'sinai. Tazvav ena lekuach pater elam nilkach achus shenil hisase. When do we say an animal that is purchased is pater from maisi? Is only if you purchased it after it could have been maisi. Like the one who buys animals within 7 days of them being born, when it comes time to do the maise, they are mechuyif. Because then when did you purchase it? At a time where you couldn't have shechted it. You have to wait 8 days to shecht an animal. So there was never a moment when this animal, when you bought it, could have been subject to maise. Therefore, it's as if you bought a fetus and then it was born in your rishus. So if you purchase it within 8 days of it being born, they are mechuyif to be go through the maise process. Tazayin kol behemesh yisafik im bas maise hi or eino bas maise. We don't know if it's the din of maise is chal or not to this animal, subject or not. Harei p'turim min maise. Figach taloim shenisal behin yasam elakuch v'chayetz behin. If you have a whole herd of sheep into which one animal, which is parted, is mixed in, harei kulam p'turim. Shkolechem behin safik, or each animal could be this one, which is not mechuyif. There we go. Perek Shvi, final Perek. How do we do Maisev? Short Perek is Egelai. Chalach Alf. Mishoi lo yasorot loim behivrish echad Maisev. One who has 10 animals, he separates the 10th. The 10th one is Maisev. Hoi lo yimei behivrish yasorot Maisev. He had 100, so he separates 10. Ein edel Maisev. So what should he do? El ketzad oisa. Koinas kol atloim mekol ha'agol medir. He puts all the behemoths into a pen. Veisu lo pesach katan kadesh lo yetu shnan keechad. And he makes a very narrow entrance, so only one animal can leave one at a time. Maimon yimei semi b'chutz v'hin goyes. They put the mother outside of the pen to coo, to cry, so the babies come out. They have to walk out on their own accord and not be manually dragged out. When they are leaving the pen, he takes a second count. 1, 2, 9. Puts a splash of paint. This is maise. We didn't put this splash of paint. We didn't count the numbers. He counted them as they were crouching or standing. He counted from 1 to 10, in his mind at least. And he was makavish the 10th one. Doesn't have to put all the animals into one pen. You put into different pens. If you have sheep in different areas, in mitzdarf. If they're within 16 mil, then even if they're in different pens, they are mitzdarf. If there were three groups of sheep, three herds, and between each one you have 16, how do you slosh them? It's from case of Hoyu, Tisha Mikan, Tisha Mikan, the Echo Benza, 9, 9, and one in the middle. How do you slosh them? Nichnos in the deal, his assay. Locha Dalid, in Masrin, Minatsoin, Alabako. Meaning that you can combine all these animals together and then begin the process of counting 1 to 10. In Masrin, Minatsoin, Alabako. Blame in a bucket, Alatsoin. You can't do for ox or cows over sheep or sheep over cows. Sheep and goats you can mix. Sheep and goats can be put together in the same pen, but cows and bulls have to be in their own pen. You can only separate 1 out of 10 from what was born that year. You cannot mix offspring from different years together. What happens if you did? You took animals from Tashan Pei Dahal, Tashan Pei Gimel, and Tashan Pei Beis. Then you did Maise, and you separated 1 from 10 from the whole collective group. It says the Rambam, it is Maise. Why? Because when it comes to Karbanis, and you're makdish something for the Beis Hamikdash, there's a certain level of stringency that we apply to it. Torah doesn't say specifically you got to keep each year alone. When it comes to grain, mice, separating mice from grain, the Torah does say. And we extend that to animals as well. But because the Torah doesn't say specifically, the Rambam says that if you do mix different animals from different years, it is considered mice behemoth. Well, kol haniladim me'echad betishah. So what's the beginning of the year? How do you define the year? So kol haniladim me'echad betishah. Esam betishah be'elam starfin from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Umasr me'el ol elu. No, the chamisha tleim betishah ve'esam be'elam v'chamisha be'echad betishri. The five were born on the 25th of Elul, and five were born on Rosh Hashanah. Ain't mitstarfin because it's two different years. Yaldu havlad is b'seich shnasan harayiv v'bita nechnasas div hisasid. If an offspring gave birth to an offspring, they can both be part of the same group to separate ma'aser from that year. It's not like when it comes to grain, where there's a prohibition to eat from it until you separate maise, that we say the same applies to animals. No. Do whatever business you want with your animals, and then do maise. And the maise is, then whatever dinim apply to maise, you'll have to fulfill. Ches. When do you separate the ma'aser behemah? What times of the year? Kavu chacham shloisha zman b'shana l'ma'aser behemah. Three times a year. Mishehegiya zman mihen. Also l'limkar l'lishchet ha'ad she'yasa. You cannot sell or shecht or do anything until you fulfill your obligation of ma'aser. Zim shachad if you oivir and you did shecht, there is a mutah. Ve'elohin ha'shloisha zman b'yam chamisha asa yeim kedem pe'pesach. 15 days before Pesach, i.e. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ve'yem chamisha asa kedem, it says 15 days before Shavuos. Ve'yem chamisha asa kedem achag, 15 days before Sukkos. Why? Because people are going to be purchasing animals for karbonis, for yamtiv. So the Chachamim said, so now's the season of buying, let's make sure that what you're bringing to the market is done correctly and everything is, all the maises are separated. Because ma'amil nikra goyren maiser behima, just like you have a goyren for maiser, you have a time when you have to separate maiseris from grain, this is the time when you have to separate maiser from animals. So people come to the Beis Hamikdash can have behemoths. Even though you technically can sell before you separate ma'aser behemoth, separate ma'aser and then with the other animals you can sell. What happens with the leftover animals? Count in groups of 10. You're going to have a full 10 unit. What happens if you have 6 that are left over? What do you do with those? You keep them for the same year, but you keep them until the next 35th of the Omer, or Erev Rosh Hashanah, when you're going to be separating the next time. Even though he knows that he doesn't have an even number of 10, he knows that it will have left over. Everything has to go into the pen. And whatever remains, and he'll keep it over for the next time when he'll separate Ma'aser Behemah.